Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
All right, so more and more people are working less than full-time, and today we're looking at how part-timers deal with healthcare. Tell us your stories. Here's Mark from Southern Massachusetts.
My healthcare nightmare is that what with the reduction in availability of funds for college tuition, we spent all our cash to send my daughter to school. I have multiple sclerosis and diabetes and haven't for 3 months been able to afford my medicine. Now that's a nightmare.
And it's a story that is repeated over and over and over again in the United States. Tell us yours at 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTake at thetakeaway.org. Stephen Dubner, Freakonomics author and co-author, I guess it would be best to describe you,
co-pilot.
Is here, co-pilot. And Susan Lambert joins us now, associate professor at the University of Chicago School of Social Service Administration. Susan, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Now, if you are in this underemployed kind of gray area of the U.S. labor force, your healthcare implications are dire. We heard that story of one of our listeners describing the nightmare of having a chronic condition and also no ability to pay for healthcare. And then Stephen Dubner here, who actually has the wherewithal to buy his own insurance, but still pays absolutely top dollar to fund his own healthcare. What is the situation for most Americans in this part-time situation?
Well, part-time workers don't get health insurance through their employer. Nationally, as of 2006, only about 18% of Americans got health, who worked part-time got health insurance through their employer. So we're already starting at a very low point. And what we see in workplaces is that there is a definite possibility that as people's hours are cut, even in full-time jobs, that this will put their health care at risk of cancellation for a variety of reasons.
Susan, are there thresholds, legal thresholds, whereby employers have to offer health care or where they can maintain employees under a certain number of hours so that they don't have to offer health care?
Well, there are laws that say that you have to apply the criteria that you set up kind of equally across your workforce. But what those criteria are, there are no laws about that. And so there are three general criteria that employers use to qualify employees for benefits, health insurance, paid time off, everything. And having your hours cut affects all of those. So one criteria, for example, is your employment status. Many employers will provide health insurance to their full-time employees, but not their part-time employees. So if your hours are cut, an employer could reclassify your job as part-time, and then you could lose your health insurance. Another criteria is that employers will establish that you have to work, 25 maybe or 35 hours per week to maintain eligibility for coverage health insurance. And one of the things they often have written into their benefit manuals is that if a worker works less than full-time hours for two sequential pay periods, they may no longer be eligible for benefits.
But who comes up with those rules quickly?
Employers do.
Wow.
Susan, this is Stephen Dubner. Let me just play devil's advocate for a minute, or maybe just annoying person for a minute. I've read research that says basically that people consume too much health care when they have full insurance. Okay, so it's a little bit like the all-you-can-eat buffet. It's a little bit like auto insurance. If I buy auto insurance, I can drive as many miles as I want. But cause as many accidents and as much congestion as I want, and I don't pay any more. Might we see as people have less insurance that they consume less healthcare, might there be some silver linings there, and for whom?
I am not a healthcare expert. I am an employment expert, and so I would hate to comment on how people's health insurance, how that's going to affect the cost of that.
So your constituency suffers, in other words?
Well, I mean, we know overall that a lot of health care cost is that People could, when they don't have health insurance, right, they go late in the course of a disease or an illness, and that raises the costs. And we know that that's related to whether you have insurance or not.
But I think for a lot of people, Susan, I think the whole economic question of why you get benefits, what your benefits cost, what it is that you're getting for your benefits is really, really a mystery. Here's one of our listeners, Greg.
This is Greg from Boston. Can somebody please explain to me why my Massachusetts auto insurance takes into account that I'm a good driver and I don't get into accidents, but my health care doesn't care if I'm healthy. It doesn't care if I'm not obese and I don't smoke. It doesn't give me any incentive to stay healthy. What's wrong with this?
I mean, I guess, Susan, we don't want to put you in the role of being a health care economist here, but in general, employers can't really pool their insurance, their employment pool, and get a discount, so therefore they can't pass that along to their employers,
you know,
right?
That's actually not true. When companies can implement healthness and wellness programs, and when they do that, and they can document that, you know, people have stopped smoking or have reduced rate, employers actually get, at least, whether they pass it on to employees or not, that's another question.
So there is
but
incentive.
But they can get a discount, yes.
There are incentives there.
Yes, there are.
Let me throw some statistics at you, and these are, I think, in your purview. Last month, 645,000 additional workers became part-timers for economic reasons, according to the Bureau of Labor. And over the last 12 months, the number of part-time workers for economic reasons, and that they were forced off the rolls into a part-time position, increased by 2.3 million. That's the highest number since 1993.
Right.
With the healthcare implications and millions of people suddenly falling into this zone, this is has fairly dire, broad social consequences, it seems to me.
Yes, it's, you know, but what we... One of the things I want to emphasize is we don't really know yet how employers are implementing these hours cuts. We know from these data that workers are having their hours cut, but how they implement it will matter a great deal for whether workers, for example, continue to get covered by health insurance. So, for example, you know, I was talking about that rule that employers have that if you work 26 or 32 hours, you know, less than full time for two sequential time periods, employers can say that you're not eligible for your benefits anymore. Whether or not they're doing that, we don't know. I mean, my experience with employers is that some will continue to cover their employees with health insurance, and some of them will use this as an opportunity to further reduce their labor costs.
So the implications will become clear in the next 6 months or so. Susan Lambert, thanks so much for joining us.
All right, thank you.
Associate professor at the University of Chicago School of Social Service Administration. You pay a big chunk for your health care, right?
I do. It's,
does that encourage you to, like...
Yeah, you consume too much. I mean, this is...
you consume more because you paid.
Absolutely. I mean, we could talk... This is a longer talk for another day, but it's a real problem.
A lot of freakonomics in healthcare.